We're going to go into this part of the practical aspects of visitation. I'd like to start off with this key note, which is that, you know, when we do visitation, we must remember that we do so on behalf of Christ. We do so on behalf of Christ. You know, the scripture teaches us in Matthew 25, the very familiar passage to us, how the king said to those on the right hand, "Come, ye blessed, my father," remember? And what was the thing that the king, you know, take notice of? He said in Matthew 25, verse 35, 2:5, Matthew 2:5, verse 35, "For I was in hunger and you gave me meat, I was thirsty and you gave me drink, I was stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me, I was sick and you visited me, I was in prison and you came unto me," you see. And then the righteous are very surprised, "Why did we do that, right?" And now, of course, the Lord replied in verse 38, when verse 40, the Lord's reply is this: "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." So it's so important to start off when we think about visitation, we must remember this is the on behalf of that we are doing. When we visit someone in the name of Christ, you know, we, whether at home, in hospital, care facility, or wherever it is, it's very important for us to be mindful that Christ takes notice of these deeds and he personalizes these acts as "you have done it unto me." So in other words, we serve Christ by serving others in his name. And because we cannot literally, you know, do good unto him in a sense, but we do good unto those whom he loved, and he took notice of that as that which is done unto me. So he delights, therefore, in such work that we do, and he will therefore be with us, right, to bless our presence to the person whom we visit. And we need to take comfort and faith and encouragement in this, that he will go with us to do this work, and he will enable us to do this work, and he will want to prosper us in this work. This is the kind of faith we need to go with. So, you know, visitation is just one of the way by which the church is supposed to love and serve one another in the body of Christ. And there are many other ways, of course, that we can do so. We can write, we can call, we can approach to talk, we can send a gift, we can send a message to show we care, we can enlist others to help and to support. We can do many other practical things, right? To love one another in the body of Christ as we are loved by God. And this is how we are to serve one another. And as our motto, right, of our church says, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, right? Even the Lord himself, who should be, right, served and to worship and be our Lord. But he himself didn't come to this world to be served. But what? To serve, but to minister. And to give his life a ransom for many. And so he set us the most excellent example that you and I can never outdo. And we will have to humbly follow in his footsteps and not to wait to be served, but to serve one another, because he himself, our Lord, came to serve and to minister. So there will obviously be anxiety that you may have when we talk about visitation, right? There will be people who are concerned, you know, about what they should do, what they should say, whether they are going to mess things up and add to the pain of the people whom they visit. And all that. These concerns are all very real. But important thing for us to recognize and remember is that, of this promise that God will go with us to prosper our way as we learn to trust in him and wait upon him and to enable us to do so. So we need to be equipped. We need to learn of Christ. We need to learn of his word. We need to go prepared and to be used by God to be a blessing to them. And he will help us, but we must also be diligent in our preparation, of course. Our Lord himself is the greatest example. If you look at the gospel account, you cannot but help to see, you know, how the Lord, when he was here, he was just full of compassion, right, for the needy. He cared for the sick, fed the poor, he reached out to the unclean lepers, the harlot, the publican, the outcast of the society. right? And he healed the sick, and regardless of who they are, he showed compassion to everybody, and including on the Sabbath day, you know, he healed people against the traditions of the Pharisees, and was wrongly accused of breaking the Sabbath, but he still, you know, was not in any way buckling under the kind of pressure, but to continue in well-doing. And this is the kind of example we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, we constantly look unto in this ministry itself, so that we can model after his compassion, model after his footsteps, model after the way he does it. You know, this is one thing about the Lord Jesus ministry in his healing, for example. You know, he has power to heal all sorts of diseases and all that. But you notice one thing that our Lord never failed to do when he healed others physically, right? What is it? He went to the spiritual needs. Because giving the bread and healing the physical body is not going to heal a person spiritually. So it's important that we do not focus on the physical, although that is important, not that it is not important at all. You know, a brother be naked, you don't say, you know, just well wishes for him. You can do practically something which you can spare clothes, give it to him, right? Of course, you yourself only have one set of clothes and you will be naked. If you give it to him, then of course that's another matter. But the Lord doesn't require of you that which you do not have. The point I'm trying to get at is that we must not go into social work. That's very important. We care for others for the purpose that we might be able to show them the love which is of God, so that we can open doors to bring them the message of God's word that is able to do the spiritual renovation and work in them. And that's what our focus must be. Not to take care of, you know, the physical, but to go as our Lord Jesus did, you know, in looking into the spiritual needs of those who are unsaved and those who need the word of God to actually look unto him and be sustained by this bread and meat and shield and buckle, right, of their faith. So what the practical helps are that we can do and help and do on the others. I'm going to list down a good number of suggestions here that you can modify according to the needs of the persons that you visit, and try to understand the reason for the what that I'm going to suggest, and then establish your own style as you go along. And this is not intended to be a checklist, because there are certain things that will not apply, especially in this COVID situation, or sometimes when you go to hospital, you know, certain restriction that's preventing from doing it. And also when you go to another culture, right, particularly when you go overseas, there'll be certain culture that you must take notice of and take note of, so that you will not do things that are inappropriate, which may be appropriate and okay for you to do in our culture, right? And things like that. So we need to be mindful of such a thing. So adjust them as it goes along, okay? So I'd like to divide this practical advice into three parts. One is preparation before visitation, and one is what do you do during visitation, and what do you do after visitation, okay? So primarily before visitation itself, what is the first thing you must do before you visit? Number one, pray. Make regular prayer for those you will be visiting. As you pray each day for this person, the Lord will lead you to and guide you to determine how you can minister to this same person. But of course, you will need information. So what the committee has done is very good. They keep documentation of the people so that you have a case itself, you know, very good practice, so that when you read it, you will have an idea about the needs and everything. Then you pray for this needs. As you pray, the Lord will direct you and guide you as to how you can then use the word that you're going to prepare to apply unto the lives of those people whom you are visiting. Help them to understand first. Then you will be able to bring the application to them, direct them to this passage. Pray that the Lord will bless your visit. So number one, pray regularly for this person. Number two, of course, you need to, for home visit, you need to call a person first. Don't surprise them suddenly appear at the door, because the people will be very awkward. You need to call and let the person know what time you're coming. And of course, the committee in this case will help us to do all this liaison and all that kind of thing. But that is the part that you need to do if you're going to do a personal visit to somebody, right? Try your best to make a call, to make a time so that you can come. Tell the person that you would like to come, that you want to come, that you desire to have fellowship with them. Don't say things like, I've been assigned to come and visit you. You are on the church visitation list, you know, or you requested for a visit, as if they are the people, you know, they are the needy people. Just go to them, you know, as you would like to, you know, go and be and have fellowship with a brother and tell them that you would be like to do so. So if they tell you, don't trouble yourself, what you can do is politely assure them that you really want to do it. I really want to do it. It will be my joy to be able to come and visit you. You know, then you suggest a time, you know, will Saturday 10 a.m. be okay? You know, be all right with you, will be convenient for you. So you just be a little bit, may I say, pushy, but polite about it. So that people sometimes they want to paisei, right? But we also want to assure them that actually don't be paisei because I also want to do it and you'll be our blessings together, you see, that kind of thing. So you need to be a little bit firm and a bit pushy, but yeah, at the same time, be flexible. Of course, you say that 10 a.m. not good, then 11. You know? If this time not good, let's try another day. So you must be a bit persistent so that people will know that you are really sincere in wanting to come. Because some people, they don't want you to come, not because they don't want visitor alone. Of course, some people are like that. But it's primary, sometimes people don't want to burden you. For hospital visit, I think it's very necessary for us to make sure we know the full name because they're not going to admit you nowadays with contact tracing. You need to know the ward and the bed number, whether it's possible to visit. It's good to inform the patient beforehand, but I sometimes drop in without informing because they are bed bound anyway, they can't go anywhere. But of course, sometimes you go there, cold call, you don't get to see the person. But if you need to, if you wish to, you can check the person whether the person is ready for visitor because sometimes they are not ready. But if you know the person is ready for visitor, just drop in anytime that you are available within the visitation hour. Okay, so try to find out, right, about what is the person needs, everything from somebody else or from their loved ones or whatever it is, or directly from the person by talking to the person on the phone, etc., before you visit the person and then be able to help to bring the word that is a fitting, you know, word for the person. So on the visitation day, then what do you do, right? What do you do? Well, my advice is that you really need to pray. Before you arrive, pray. Ask for the Lord to give you the words. Ask for the Lord to open the hearts to you. Ask the Lord to bring salvation and bring care and the love, you know, that you can show to the person so that the person will go away feeling, and after you go away, the person will feel encouraged. These are the things you pray. Unless the Lord, you know, help you, you can never be able to succeed in this thing. And of course, practically speaking, it'd be good to bring a small gift. I always try not to go empty-handed. Yeah, try not to go empty-handed. You know, some things that are good to bring, like fruits lah, dry goods lah, like, you know, digestive biscuits, some snacks for the children if there are children in the house and that kind of thing. A card, you know, sometimes a small love gift from you will be appropriate if there's a newborn or if someone has been discharged recently from the hospital. Or these are just some gesture, you know, that you bring when you visit a person. Sometimes you can even bring notes, you know, for the person, Bible study notes, Sunday bulletin in the past. It's also good. Good book, a book for the bookworm, a music CD. These are all very good choices that you can bring to a person and, you know, to visit that person. And be a good guest. Be a good guest. What if I be a good guest? Is this, I thought you're going there as a guest, right? So if the person, you know, knows that you're coming and they prepare some snack, sometime when you're too paisei, I say, don't need. Actually, it becomes rude, you know. I always advise people that if you go there and people prepare some snack for you, even if you are full, eat a bit. They offer you drink, drink it. You won't die by eating and drinking. I like to say this because sometimes in accepting them, the person feel better because the person feel a bit paisei for you to come all the way. They prepare all these things with you. Then after that, you go away, you touch them as if, you know, you don't like what they prepare. That in itself is not good. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So they give, they feel blessed only if you what? Receive it. Okay? Yeah. If they say, can I serve you something? Yeah. If they say, well, can I give you coffee? Sure. Yeah, they like to serve you, let them do it so that they will feel that they are serving and not being served. This is actually a good thing, right? Don't feel paisei about it. Of course, don't go and ask for things they don't have. Can you get me Coke? Then they're going to go down NTUC and buy for you, that kind of thing. No. I don't mean that. Okay, but let them serve you if they offer, right? Whatever is convenient for them. If they prepare it, eat it, right? Even if you're very full, just take some. Okay. Then sometimes it's also very good practical two things to offer some practical help, especially go to hospital. Sometimes their bottle is empty. They may need a wet towel or warm towel. You can get a towel, wash it in a warm water and give it to them for them to freshen their face up a little bit before they start the meeting and talk with you. These are all very good, useful practical things you can do also, right? So ask them, right? How are they doing? How are they coping? You know, how about their family? Ask about their health, if they're unwell. Let them talk to you first before you go inside. First thing, you know, you blast them. You let them talk to you so that they will share it with you all the concern. Because in the process of doing that, you will be able to listen, right? Learn to listen, right? To what is the concern and understand it, what they are thankful for. And these are things that you can actually begin to apply again to them when you have the exhortation with them. You draw on those things and you apply particularly to those things in particular. This will show that you're listening and you're trying to your best to address those things, you know, with the word of God to encourage them. Yeah. But don't think that you need to go and solve all their problems or go and offer every single advice for their concern. No. Sometimes your presence there is just to listen, you know, to acknowledge their struggle they're expressing. That is important. That's enough, you know, to give them a listening ear for them to sympathize with them and to encourage them in the Lord. Turn them to the Lord, who is our Lord, our helper, and all the grace that we need are all found in the Word of God and in God Himself, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever hope or think, right? So don't need to offer explanation and answers for everything, you know, they ask. Especially try to avoid giving medical advice, you know, because some of them are really overwhelmed by the many that they have received already. Sometimes we are very enthusiastic. You know? Oh, your case same as mine. I also got giddiness. You know, you try this, try that, try that. No lah. You know, don't do it that period of time. Try not to, you know, hold back. If they ask, then you share. If not, don't overwhelm them with this thing. It's not the purpose of your visit, okay? The purpose of visit is to listen and encourage them, you know, from the Word of God. And then help update them, you know, about what is going on at church. That's also another useful thing, especially if they have not been back in church, you know. Tell them about what is happening in church, what are some events happening, what are some things that has been changing, how the Lord is blessing the church, etc. So just update them on what is happening back in church, okay? Sing, yeah. It's good to bring a hymn book. Must be, of course, make sure that you are singing the Chinese one for the people who understand Chinese and that kind of thing. So they must sing with understanding. Yeah, these are sing the familiar things, right? So this will bring great comfort to the people who are going to be singing with you. If they cannot sing, you still sing for them so that they will be comforted by these words and all that. You know, it's there are people who are bed bound, they not even open their eyes. You don't underestimate the power of singing. You can still sing to them and you can still hear and you can be a great blessing. And this has been proven true many a time, especially for people who are big bound in a hospital and all that. Physical touch. Physical touch can be very helpful, but please keep it within boundary, right? If you are a lady, you can go and hug a lady when you arrive. You can hold a lady's hand and all that. If you are a man, of course, you refrain from doing that. But if this person is a very senior man or a very senior woman, right, you can actually lay your hands on their hands, okay, or lightly on their shoulder when you are praying. This will be helpful. Physical touch can be very helpful in these circumstances, right? If there are more than one person visiting, it's good to gather around this person together when you pray. Don't just everyone behind, no, gather around, right, when you pray. And then at the end of the prayer, right, everyone say an audible amen, you know, at the end. It can be very uplifting for this person who you are gathering around, you know, praying for him or her. Okay? Tell them, you know, that, you know, that they are missed, that we miss their fellowship. Tell them that we would like to see them in church. And if they are not coming to church, encourage them to come. You know? And if transportation is an issue, let's see when we can overcome it, right? Nowadays with Grab and with so many people driving, maybe we can work certain things out, yeah? But I try to encourage them to go to church, yeah? And assure them, you know, that the church cares, and that's the reason why there's the team is coming to visit you from the church. And, you know, ask them, you know, if there's anything the church can do for them. Of course, don't promise them, but hear it out. And after that, you know, listen to it and say, oh, thank you for sharing all these things. Then after that, bring it back to the leaders of the church or discuss with the community and see what are things you can do practically for the person. Ask them for their prayer request and ask if this, you know, could be shared also in our church prayer list so that the church can pray for them also. Those things that you can practically do to encourage them. Of course, finally, you must therefore pray with a person before you go. Pray with a person before you go. Ask them if there are any prayer requests, and then after that, if they say no, of course, just pray for whatever the Lord leads you in according to what you have shared and what they have certain things they expressed so far. And occasionally, you know, they might even offer to pray for you. They can ask you, how about you? Do you have any prayer requests? But please don't say, nothing, I'm perfectly okay. No, no, no. Share with them also some of the concern that you have. So that they will be able to see that, oh, you too have concern. Yeah. But we all find our grace together from the Lord. So if they ask how they can pray for you, tell them a prayer request. Yeah? So that they have the opportunity to serve you as you serve them. So this recognizes that we are all in the Lord and we are all needy and we are all waiting upon the Lord for His grace. Right? Of course, don't overstay. Don't overstay mean, you know, don't stay beyond the length of time that you're welcome. Be short and be sensitive. And the person needs rest, you can close the meeting earlier and perhaps talk with the rest of the family first if they are available. Take the initiative to excuse yourself and by saying, oh, I think, you know, we don't want to hinder you from resting. Yeah, it's been nice visiting you and I think you will need some time to rest. So close by telling them, you know, that you wish to see them again if you can. If it's in a hospital situation, sometimes you go and visit, the person is sleeping. What do? Sometimes if there are no family member present, it's good to wake the person up. Call the person, try to wake the person up. Of course, don't go and shake the person. Just call a person and maybe just touch a little bit if the person is appropriate. Because sometimes a sleeping patient would like to be wakened because someone visited. You know, sleeping patients are all the time wakened anyway in hospital for temperature check, for medicine, for meals and so on and so forth. They are used to being wakened in the first place. So if the other family members are there, let them decide whether to wake the patient up. Then you can first check with the other family members first. But if the person is alone, you know, it's good to wake the person up because the person will be glad that you did. But if they go there and the person is not there at all, then yeah, you wait for a few minutes, ask the nurse whether the person coming back soon. If you cannot, then I think it'd be good for you to leave a note, and leave a handphone number if you can call you back and just chat with them and pray with them on the phone. Yeah. Okay, so now after visitation, what do you do? Well, some meaningful ways to manifest the love of Christ after the visitation actually is to just follow up with a call a few days later, send a card by post, send a short handphone message, send an email, give a phone call. This thing can bring joy and comfort to the person's life that you have visited, and the person will appreciate that you still remember them and not a one-off, and after you don't follow up with them anymore. And these are things that you can do so as establish a longer term relationship with them so that they'll be more willing to share with you if they have any concern. They can text you and update you and things like that. This is how, as a body of Christ, we can actually show practical love one to another. I hope that these practical advices are useful for all of you. That's all I have to share. Thank you. I can read that question. How to answer a question from an unbeliever? If Jesus has died for Christians and washed away Christians' sin, why do Christians still need to suffer on this earth instead of going to heaven immediately? Correct? This is a theological question. This is what the scripture reveals to us. Logically, we always think this is the best, right? Take away quickly, remove our suffering immediately, and things like that kind of thing. But you look at the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is not the case. So what in reality, what we think is best, it may not always be the best. That's something we have to remember. We have to look at the scripture and ask ourselves, is this what God says is the best? You know, for so it seemed good in thy sight. That's what the scripture tells us. There are certain things we are told, lean not onto our own understanding, right? This is one of them. We logically like to lean on our own understanding. This is the better. Just like a lot of things we decide and then we just, this is the better. But we never ask, what does the word of God say? Is this what God says? So likewise in this question, you know, this is not what God says. You may think it's the best, but it may not be the best. Because for so it seems good in his sight, because there will be greater glory, there'll be greater joy. You see, if all were easy, you know, Then I think where is then the greater blessing that comes through the triumph of persevering and of our faith in God. You know, God allows these things to happen to us for a good reason, and I think you can find plenty of them in the scripture, of which one of the most famous reason is that, you know, for the strengthening of our faith, you know, for the refining of our faith, you know, for the increasing of our perseverance in Him. And it's a kind of a test also for ourselves, whether we truly love the Lord, and whether we are able to say that, you know, the Lord is indeed my anchor, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. So these are many, many reasons. Just read the scripture, you'll find many answers for this question. I hope this answer is short enough for you. I didn't see any more questions. Or you can unmute yourself and ask. We have a small community. Please feel free to unmute and ask.
Mr. Esther, do you receive any other questions? If not, we can also open to everybody.
Yep, I didn't receive any. Maybe I can ask one.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you strike a balance between, you know, sharing your own experience and to try and like bridge the gap and ending up diminishing that person's experience? Because sometimes, you know, people will say like, you don't really understand what I'm feeling lah. But then, so you try to share your experience, but actually maybe the person just wants to share. So in a sense, is sharing your experience helpful or not? You know, sometimes you can end up diminishing the person's experience by sharing your own. Yeah, so is there a way like to strike a balance or something?
I think you have brought up a valid point, which is about not diminishing the person's experience. And sometimes when you say, I understand how you feel, we like to use this phrase, huh? I understand how you feel. Maybe not. Sometimes you say you understand how the person feels, the person may not say, I don't think you understand from what you say. Yeah. So we try not to say, unless people know that you've gone through something similar. If the person turns around and say, I think you understand what I'm feeling, because, you know, I remember, you know, this that happened to you. So they identify with you straight away that they think you understand how they feel, because of something that they know that has happened to you before, that you have experienced something similar. And so then that become an opener in itself for you to, you know, to testify of the goodness of God, and that's all. You are not wrong to say that you may not want to offer all the time your experience and all that kind of thing to the person. Like I mentioned just now, you know, sometimes the best gift is the gift of hearing. The gift of hearing. Some people, you just learn to listen. Listen empathetically, listen with feedback to them that you're listening. And how do you do so? It's actually something you need to train yourself to be, you know, to just rehearse what they say back to them, to show that you have heard what they are saying, summarize what they say to you, and acknowledge their feeling. Oh, you know, I can tell, you know, I can feel how, you know, you feel so discouraged, or very the pain that you are going through, and the struggles that comes through this and all that. So you just repeat whatever they are saying to you, to acknowledge that you are listening actively and carefully to what they are saying. And then, of course, you can, when you are giving the exhortation of the word of God, then you know, give the application to them. But is it necessary all the time to share your experience? It depends on how the Lord leads you now. So you're very sure that your this is going to be helpful to the person, then you can share. But there's also, like what Esther said, the possibility that the person will feel that you don't understand me, and yours is different from me, and all these things will be a comparison, and therefore diminishing how they feel.
Okay, thank you. Maybe you can wrap up the discussion questions with us.
Oh,
that's you. Yeah.
Okay. Let me go back to it. Okay, actually, I was thinking, you know, whether we could compile them, you know, because each group will have their own, right? So I was thinking whether the committee after this could ask what are the answers that was collected, and maybe we could compile them, because then we will then be able to have something to fall back to reflect upon that would be quite useful. It's like we are using the what I call the multitudes of counselor. Okay, anyway, I give you mine, but it's not all you know, to me I don't usually fix to one, because it all depends on my private devotion, and also upon my meditation of the situation. Each time I have a different person, I will think and I pray and ask a lot to give me a passage, but it will come somewhere somehow, either people sharing or something I read, or just something that popped up in my mind, and then I just go and look for that passage, and I look at it again, yeah, I think this will be a suitable passage, that kind of thing. So it will be more like that. I won't say, oh, this one only that one, that kind of thing. Of course, there are certain classic passages which all of you shared, you know, in all things by prayer and supplication, and Romans 8:28. All these are very classic passages that we all will have our own. And of course, there will be passages that will really be personal to you, that will great encouragement to you and all that kind of stuff. So for me, I will always focus on the gospel when you come to a non-believer. So when you come to a believer, of course, doesn't mean that you cannot use the gospel, but primarily, when we speak to non-believer, right, our focus will be to bring them the gospel. Yeah. The difference between homebound and those people who are suffering cancer is that homebound people may not be dying yet. No? They are just not able to go places. They are just homebound. But people who are suffering cancer will have their days and more or less they pay, you know, like a number, or they are really going through great affliction and that kind of thing. But they are still, you know, same group of people who really need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That if they are willing for you to visit them, I think that'll be a great, wonderful opportunity for you to share with them the gospel. But I'd like to emphasize the aspect of the compassion and the love of God in the situation of those people who are suffering. I think gospel are just full of accounts, isn't it? Of the miracle, you just look at the many miracle and circumstances of the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ do, you will find plenty of material in those passages that you can draw upon. But of course, the danger is that we may give the impression to the person that you know, if I'm having cancer, the person got cancer and the Lord healed him, and so I must be expecting to be healed. No. Like I mentioned just now, go beyond the physical, right? To show how the Lord, in the point of time when he was looking at the physical, he was looking at something deeper. The physical is just a manifestation of what is a manifestation of what is spiritual. Why are we, you know, in this situation where we are going through all this affliction? It's because of what is spiritual. We are fallen. We are sin. We all need, you know, to return unto God. These are the messages. We need God. We need, you know, to have our relationship restored with him. We need to repent of our sin. We need to have our sins forgiven. We need the peace of God, past understanding. You know, we need the joy of the Lord. All these things are going to come through the gospel messages. So I would like to, if I use a miracle, I would like to focus, you know, upon, of course, the power that God is able to heal, but go beyond it to the healing of the soul as application of the message itself to the people. For example, the woman with blood issue, right? You look at how, you know, the Lord was so powerful in curing this woman. But what is the issue, right? It's the issue of sin, right? that she needs to be forgiven of, that she needs salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you can find passages like that, that shows a person's conversion, that would be the most useful and apt passages that you can actually share with people who are non-believers at home. For believer who is downcast because of bodily affliction and stopped going to church, one of the passages that come to my mind with someone, Psalm 27 talks about how one thing have I desired the Lord that I will seek after, right? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and be inquired in his temple. you notice that David at this point of time was not able to go to church because of the persecution, and he was running and running, and he was not able to go to the house of God, right? Because he was away from the temple. And so this is the the tabernacle. So this is the situation, and how he desire and long for it. So when you look at the psalmist longing and all that kind of thing, it is a way of telling the person, right, how the person also need to be satisfied by seeking after God, in having a great desire to be found in the house of the Lord. And I'm sure this also applies to people who is homebound and not able to go to church. Yeah, so both Psalm 27 will work for people like who stop going, and people who are not able to go to church and all that. So this is one of the passages that I like to use, yeah, and the reason why. Sharing some difficult challenges, I think you all have shared many. Maybe perhaps it'd be good if I can hear some of your some of it from you all. You know, of course, I have my experience of people who are, you know, not a you know, very debative. They are trying to divert the conversation, you know, because they don't want to listen to what you're saying. So they will catch something you say and then, you know, make a whole issue out of it, all these things. So they are just being difficult to try to divert the conversation, or become very argumentative, or they are very good at changing the topic. So these are some of the challenges. And so I think one of the things that we can learn from our Lord Jesus Christ is the woman at the well, right? How she tried to, you know, divert the attention, divert the conversation by bringing all the controversial thing and or changing the topic, whatever it is. I think the Lord just goes straight for the root of the problem. And that's actually a very good example of the Lord in dealing with people like that. So you notice the Lord when he spoke the gospel to a different group of people, it's good for us to know the context, and then we can learn real apologetics from the Lord, who is the best and sharing the gospel account. So these are one of the category of people. And of course, I think the group I was attending also talk about people who are home, a bit bound, and not very conscious. So you do not know whether the person is listening to you or not. And then you share the person, you don't know whether the person hears you or not. That kind of thing. I would suggest that under circumstances, so long as a person is there, if you go there, just share in 10 to 15 minutes a reminder of the word of God, and that's about it. And after that, sing a few songs with them and pray with them. That will be all the concentration. You never know when they are actually switching in and out of consciousness and unconsciousness, although their eyes is closed, and we still continue to share the word of God with them. Other challenges that can be will be that you come across people who are, you know, very discouraged to the point that whatever you say, they are always Chinese people say 钻牛角尖, they just go into the dark corner again and again each time, you know, you talk to them, they are very downcast. Yeah. So yeah, of course we know and recognize that God alone, you know, is able to bring us out of it all. And it's not you that can do so, but your very presence with them and your going there to speak with them may be that very opportunity. So you just have to pray that the Lord will give you the entrance of his word to bring you to them. I always like to apply this passage, which is, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God, and for he is yet the help of thy countenance. Why do I like this passage? Is that, you know, the person who is a psalmist in these circumstances is speaking to himself. He said, why art thou cast down, O who? My soul. So who is speaking to who? It's a psalmist speaking to himself. And so this is actually a very important thing for us who are discouraged to know that although people can speak to us, we must not forget ourselves as the preacher. We must not forget ourselves as a preacher. So I always tell the person, you look at the psalm, look at the passages of scripture. Each time you read it, speak to yourself, preach to yourself, and keep going at that. If you are discouraged, just keep going back to this tonics of the scripture and speak to yourself. Why are you, you know, are not experiencing of the help and the courage and the discouragement and the grace of vision, you know, from the Lord? Just ask yourself this question: why are you cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. That's the passage. That is the exhortation. That is the pointing to who? To the Lord yourself. You who? You yourself who are cast down. Go and hope in the Lord. And when you find that things are getting hopeless, continue to put all your hope upon Him, who is able to give you hope alone. Because if you cannot find hope in Him, every other hope is a useless hope anyway. So what do you do then? Continue to hope in the Lord, because He is the help of thy countenance. So you will see Him one day, you know, turning unto you to be your greatest help. But you need to wait, you need to be patient. So I think go back to our passage in James today, how we need to endure, how we need to wait, how we need patience, how we need to grudge not. All these are the various attitudes that we ought to have in our friction itself, that we need to constantly remind ourselves and check our own hearts whether we are in this situation or not. So this is, I hope I answered all my own question. Is there any other challenges that you have come across that you would like to ask, and maybe I can see if I can address them?
How can a younger person minister to an older person?
Okay, how can a younger person minister to an older person? Actually, okay, it depends on how young and how old, huh? Yeah, I mean, we all used to be young, and now we're kind of older. And so age has its help, but doesn't mean that when you're young, you cannot. So the scripture reminds us, right, that we speak to them as we are speaking to our mothers and to our fathers. Okay, so when we are very respectful, right, we don't scold them, we don't chide them. We just go there and be a great listener, very patient to listen to them. And then after that, you know, bring out the word of God and read with them and remind them, yeah, that how great is the promises of God to us all here. And continue to appeal to them and very, very, very respectfully speak to them as if you're speaking to your mother and your father. And that will go a long way in itself. So don't let age despise you. Remember what Paul told Timothy, right? Let no man despise thy youthfulness, right? But in all things, what be what? Be an example in your conduct, in the word of God. And just be this too, and that'll be great enough for to be a blessing. So in a sense, your presence as a young person with the faith, with the humility, and with the respect, and with the kind of empathy you show the person, will in a sense be a great encouragement to this senior person and say, this young man or this young lady is really a great encouragement to me also. And how I've been so many more years a Christian, I'm reminded of these things to them, how I need to remind myself and pull up my socks and really be, you know, that sort of thing. So don't despise that situation. Don't let age be your hindrance, really. You never know how your age actually can become the very source by which they can actually be encouraged thereby. But remember, you need to be very, very respectful, yeah, and patient.
Okay. Yeah, I think we will end here. Thank you, Albert Chiu, for sharing.